Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the victory. We thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom against our enemies, O Lord, and that you give us victory over self, Lord. And we thank you that you have sent our enemies to put us on our cross and give us the victory. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to continue with death separates the fleshly from the spiritual. This is number 9. And we're going to start out with the revelation given to Eve Brast that she called authority to choke the snakes. Yes. And you do too. Amen. She said, I dreamed I was in an outdoor area under a small pavilion of some kind. And she gives Psalm 27:5. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. In the covert of his tabernacle will he hide me. Amen. I was looking at an old workshop that had a very large, wide, rectangular workbench to the right of it. I knew in the dream that this workshop and bench belonged to UBM, and that the workbench was where we all did our work for the ministry. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. For they said, we will not walk therein. Yes, when we preach it, some do not obey. Then I looked over to the side of the pavilion, and I saw a cobra snake, coiled up, with its neck flared and its fangs bared in a strike position. I knew in the dream that this was the demons in our most recent factious leader. Well, you know, the venom injected by the factious is spiritually deadly to those in sin. In fact, it kills them. The parallel in the factious deep state is the injected vaccines, which are deadly to those who trust in man and especially depopulationists. Everyone should obey Jesus and not listen to slander, which destroyed them and their households. Look at the fruit of those people who talk this way. You know, sometimes people you talk to people on the internet and you don't know who they are. Well, you should never receive accusations without two or three witnesses. And that would cut that off right there. These people cannot tell the truth. The cobra seemed frozen in this position. Well, that's because God has them in a dangerous position and they know it. Its head and belly were off-white or cream-colored, representing impurity and feeding the belly and the flesh. And it had black and orange markings on the back of its head, down its back, and all over the rest of its body. It wasn't a full-grown snake. Well, black and orange are the colors of anarchists. This spirit is both factious in the church and in the state. These people rebel against law and order. They don't obey the laws of God or man. And this has put them in danger, and they know it. So they have to be very careful not to get caught. And that kind of identifies this frozen position that we will see this in. It seemed like a juvenile snake about 4 feet in length. Well, this leader of the faction has forgotten any knowledge of the Lord. Hence, he is juvenile. And this reminds us of a past revelation of very stunted, factious people trying to get at the tall and glorious people of God, but the door between them had no handle on their side. And their half of the house was falling off of a cliff and into the abyss. Yes. Well, she goes on to say, this snake represents the factious leadership in church and state that are using witchcraft. Greek meaning is from the word pharmakia, in the form of slander and the COVID vaccines against the Christians and the true people of God. And a verse that might apply here, Acts 16 and 16. And it came to pass, as we were going to the place of prayer, that a certain maid, having a spirit of divination, and the Greek word here is a python spirit, met us, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And like the faction, they follow a spirit that they believe is God, but he's totally contrary to Scripture. And, of course, they speak for that spirit. They're given over to that spirit. Suddenly, a friendly man with blonde hair came up behind me, and when I turned to look at him, he smiled. And she said, this man represents the Lord. He handed me an old wooden carpenter's toolbox that was opened on the top. I looked down and saw a hammer with a red handle sitting on top of all the other tools. He pointed at the snake and directed me to go take care of it. And she received the red-handled hammer represents the power and authority that the blood of Jesus has, which he passed on to his disciples to overcome our enemies. Amen. So I took the toolbox and began walking towards the snake, but then it disappeared right before my eyes. Much of this man's evil work is by digital stealth. He stalks our women through spying on our phones and computers, which, of course, is illegal, which you'll find out what happens to him because of that. And when we catch him doing this, he disappears for a bit and then pops his ugly head back up again at a more opportune time. You said, I was surprised by this, and the nice man pointed over to the old workshop as if to tell me he's in there now. So he's inside, right? He's in and out, right? So I walked over to the workshop and went inside, and I found the snake on top of a work table still frozen in the same strike position. I went to grab it, and it disappeared again. I was taken aback at its elusiveness and quite annoyed. The enemy is cunning and elusive and is constantly fighting against the gospel getting out and trying to interfere with the work of the ministry by sabotage and slander. And of course, all this is a good training platform for the coming tribulation when the church goes through this same thing. Then the blonde-haired man directed my attention outside of the old workshop to where the large workbench was, and I saw the snake again, but this time he was hiding underneath the workbench. They hide and plot against the righteous behind the scenes, she says. Well, notice that he hides in and out of the UBM workshop. He is seeking, like the deep state, for something to use to defend himself against the truth. The truth scares him, and he thinks that if he can find something on us, just like the deep state, that this will defend him, but not so. But since this is all illegal that he does, and he would lose any ability to work in the IT business again, according to Verizon, which reported this to one of our sisters he was stalking. And that's why he is frozen, because if he gets caught, he's going to lose his livelihood, which he deserves to. Eve said, I went around to the right side of the workbench and got down on my hands and knees and looked underneath the workbench and at the direction of the blonde-headed man that was helping me. I reached for the snake with my right hand. As I did this, it tried to bite my hand, but it was so frozen that it didn't have any agility or freedom of movement and was not able to turn its head much or sink its teeth into me. Well, they're frozen in their sins of faction and witchcraft and breaking all laws of God and man, so he has no freedom. He cannot get caught doing what he does. And of course, I've told this man that everything he does is against God's law and man's law. It don't even faze him. He said, I grabbed the snake around its neck and squeezed it so hard that I knew I was going to choke the life out of it once and for all. It was not getting away this time, and then I woke up. And this, of course, I believe represents binding the serpent spirits that we just mentioned. Matthew 18 and 18 says, Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. We have authority. Psalm 64, 2 through 8, Eve left, Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of the workers of iniquity, who have wet their tongue like a sword, and have aimed their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret places at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil purpose. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, Who will see them? They search out iniquities. They've got to find something. Yeah, like they did with Trump. We've got to find something. We've got to pin something on him. We have accomplished, say they, a diligent search, and the inward thought and the heart of everyone is deep. Notice, no facts. Okay. The facts are, this guy got caught. From then on, he had to try to pin and change people's direction or attention on other people, not himself. But God will shoot at them with an arrow, suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall be made to stumble, their own tongue being against them. All that see them shall wag the head. Yes, and there's a common word that's used around the faction in the scriptures called shame. They will be brought to shame. Okay, another revelation. Isaac Payne got this one on 5/20/21. And we called it Swinging Our Sword to Defeat the Lion. Lion can have a double meaning, right? They're lion. In this dream, I was on the peak of a very steep, rocky mountain. That's a good sign. The mountain peak was so high that it almost reached the clouds. Amen. Heavenly places, right? This is our Mount Zion, that we must climb in order to dwell in heavenly places in Christ. And Obadiah 1 and 21 says, "And saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau." That's the Edomite Judas who factioned against their brothers, right? "And the kingdom shall be the Lord's." And Jeremiah 31 and 6 says, "For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the hills of Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God." So, in other words, those elect people who factioned away from the house of David returned to be under their legal authority. And it is coming. And the factious leaders can't do anything about it. Isaiah 40, 9 through 11. "O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up on a high mountain. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come as a mighty one, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him," that is for the bride, "and his recompense before him," that is for the Edomites. "He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young." Amen. That is to go through the wilderness, right? Mm-hmm. "There were many paths on this mountain, almost like trails that zigzagged in different directions. These trails would intersect with other trails, and there were many, many trails that could be taken. The trails were only about a foot or 12 inches wide. And this is the straight and narrow path that the Lord commanded us to walk in order to have salvation. The number 12 represents foundation and church government. There were 12 patriarchs of Israel in the Old Testament and 12 disciples of Jesus in the New Testament. They represent the foundation upon which the kingdom of God was established for his people. There are also 12 foundations upon which the New Jerusalem is built. And all the trails that lead up to Mount Zion are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And as we lay the foundation of obedience to God's word in our hearts and minds, we are steadily climbing Mount Zion. And 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15 says, "According to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another builded thereon. But let each man take heed on how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man builds on the foundation gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire." That fire talks about tribulations and troubles and so on and so forth. "It is revealed in fire, and the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. Some fall away in the fire, some just grow more and more pure in the fire. If any man's work shall abide which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned," that's the wood, hay, and the stubble, "he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is through fire." Now, some people make this to mean you're once saved, always saved, but actually, if you look at the text right here, you see that the last verse only speaks of those who build on the foundation of Jesus, the Word. "But their works are wood, hay, and stubble. And through the fiery trial, the wood, hay, and stubble is burned up," right? Praise God. She went on to say, "This mountain peak was almost as if it was hollow. If you stepped off the trail, you would fall all the way to the bottom of the base of the mountain, and there would be no surviving such a fall." Okay. Sorry, that was Isaac. Okay. This would represent a falling away to reprobation. Hebrews 6, 4 through 8 says, "For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come." Now this represents people who are full gospel people who have heard the real true word and know how to grow in Christ. "And then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." In other words, Christ in them they put to death. "For the land which hath drunk the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them whose sake it is also tilled, receives blessing from God. But if it beareth thorns and thistles, it's rejected and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned." There's your confirmation. "I was at the far right side of the mountain peak walking a trail, thinking on the dream. I know that in the natural it would be impossible to even climb this mountain. You would have had to be placed on the top of this mountain." Well, the far right represents being sold out to discipleship. We must be placed on the mountain by the grace and the power of God because of our faith. It's not by our own works that we're saved. What do we have that we didn't already receive from the Lord? Amen. "I remember having a sword or a rod in my hand, and I was careful, walking this trail, trying not to fall off into the abyss of the hollow mountain. As I was walking the trails, I came upon a tree. This tree was directly ahead of me, and I realized it was a dead tree," representing the dead family tree of those who died before reaching maturity or fruit on the mountain. "And many of these betray Christ in their brethren and are broken off. Jesus said, 'Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, the least of them, you've done it unto me.'" Amen. "To follow the trail on the right side, I would have to cross underneath this tree to maintain the path I was following. I walked underneath the tree, and suddenly I noticed movements in it, and as I looked, I saw that there was a roaring lion up in the dead tree." Well, this lion represents Satan in his vessels of dishonor that continually try to make us stumble off of the path through their lies and slander. They have caused many to fall away from the truth of the gospel. And of course, their blood is upon these people's heads. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world." Amen. "The lion was dark in color, and it came down the dead tree head first like a serpent to devour me. It was ferocious and wanted to either devour me or knock me off the trail of this mountain into the abyss. I think the lion was trying to claim or protect its dominion on top of the mountain peak." Well, Satan currently has only temporary dominion in this world through his disciples, but soon it will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his disciples. Amen. Satan is going to lose. All those who work for Satan and abide in Satan will lose. "The lion stood on the trail trying to attack me. It was jumping from trail to trail, slashing at me. However, I remember my wife Mariana's presence was there, although I couldn't see her. I felt her supporting me as if she was a voice out of heaven. She said something like, "You can do it, Isaac." It was like encouragement and a measure of faith coming out of heaven. Well, you know, every wife should do this for their husbands. You know, encourage their husbands and build them up because they're the leadership. They have to be leading correctly and directly, right? Amen. I remember approaching the lion in battle and swinging my sword or rod at it. I swung at the lion, knowing this was a battle to the death. And I made contact with it, knocking it off the trail and into the abyss. Well, we know Jesus shall rule and reign with a rod of iron, and we who overcome shall rule with him, seated in his throne. Revelation 2 and 26 says, "And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations." And 3 and 21, "He that overcometh, I will give him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." Overcome what? Overcoming sin, overcoming the flesh, overcoming the devil. The mountain peak was clear now, and I was able to maintain my path, and the lion no longer had dominion on top of this mountain. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the victory over our enemies. I received confirmation about this dream the very next morning. My sister sent me a Snapchat of a dark-colored lion that was running up to the fence at her while roaring. I had no idea she would be at a zoo, and her sending me that video was no coincidence. I would say so. The Lord loves to confirm things like that. And this is from Joe Britz, 6:25-21, removing the barriers of division. "Just after Friday morning fellowship, I had a dream," Joe said. "I dreamed the camp commander came to me and asked my permission to remove the barriers between the roads and the houses that prevent the soldiers from entering the houses. The barriers were about 3 feet high, and their color was yellow, red, and green. I believe in this dream that I and the camp commander knew each other on friendly terms." And of course, we believe that's Jesus, right? "My birth name is Joseph, and it means he will multiply." And that was the end of the dream. I believe the Lord is the camp commander, and he wants us to seek him about removing the divisions or factions between his people, so the angels can protect us. That's the soldiers, right? Unforgiveness opens doors to these tormentors. I was thinking as I read this that yellow is warning, red is rebellion, and green is eternal life. And if we heed the warnings against rebellion / faction, we will have eternal life. Joseph will bring the increase by doing this. Amen. People are going to grow like this. You don't grow as long as you're in rebellion. Friday night, just after I wrote down my dream, just as I opened my Bible, I thought to myself, the name Joseph should be on this page. And I opened on Numbers chapter 1, the census of Israel's warriors. The name Joseph is in verse 32. "Of the children of Joseph, namely the children of Ephraim, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war." And, of course, they're called to do spiritual warfare, which is needed against faction or division between the peoples. Denominationalism is a form of faction or division between the peoples. Jesus prayed that they may be one, talking about his disciples, even as he and the Father were one. And men have gone in to divide ever since. The factious are practiced at dividing people. That's what they do. And they not only divide people, they put them to spiritual death. I finished reading the chapter and went to bed. This morning, in my quiet time, I also read Chapter 2, Arrangements of the Camp. Chapter 3, Levites to be Priesthood, Duties of the Priests and Firstborn Redeemed. And Chapter 4, Then While I Prayed, I heard read Leviticus Chapter 8, The Consecration of Aaron and His Sons. There you go. I asked Father, what does it mean? I got by faith at random 1 Kings 17 and 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Amen. Well, we know that the Lord strengthened Elijah against his factious adversaries and Jezebel, right? Amen. And this Deb Horton sent in from 6/22/21, The Scars of His Love. And she said, I came across this old email that a friend sent me back in 2008. She leaves a link there. It's to sermoncentral.com. Illustrations. Mother Rescues Son from Alligator. Okay, here it goes. The story goes, some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole that was behind his house. I'll tell you something about South Florida. I've been there, didn't live very far from there, and there's alligators there. Yes. In a hurry to dive into the cool water, he ran out the back door, leaving behind shoes, socks, and shirt as he went. He flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam towards the middle of the lake, an alligator was swimming towards the shore. We had a sister put us up in a house on our way moving up to Tennessee, and she said, don't worry about the lake. All the alligators stay at the other end of the lake. Well, these were lake upon lake upon lake. They were hooked together between mountains and stuff like that. And one day we went out there. She said, there's no alligators out there. I said, oh, no, you're wrong. I said, we just saw one swim right by the dock where the kids were in the water. We quickly got them out, you know. So, you know, they get around. They're looking. They're looking for something small that they can grab, right? So he flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam towards the middle of the lake, an alligator was swimming towards the shore. I believe the little boy here represents the man-child, and the alligator represents the dragon trying to devour the man-child. In the house, his mother was looking out the window. She saw the two as they got closer and closer together. In utter fear, she ran towards the water, yelling to her son as loudly as she could. Hearing her voice, the little boy became alarmed and made a U-turn to swim to his mother. It was too late. Just as he reached her, the alligator reached him. From the dock, the mother grabbed her little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. That began a very incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was much too passionate to let go. Well, we know that the dragon is always trying to devour the seed of the woman, the man-child, right? The true church has always been in a tug of war with the devil and his children over the elect of God. So, a farmer happened to drive by and heard her screams. He raced from his truck, took aim, and shot the alligator. Remarkably, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal. On his arms were deep scratches where his mother's fingernails dug into his flesh in her effort to hang on to the son that she loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked the boy if he would show him his scars. The boy lifted his pant legs and then, with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms, too. I have them because my mom wouldn't let go." Well, you know, our Heavenly Father, just like that mother, chastises those he loves and that are his, and his chastenings in life do leave scars on us, but they are the scars of his love because he won't let go. And went on, "You and I can identify with that little boy. We have scars too, not from an alligator, but the scars of a painful past. And some of those scars are unsightly and have caused us deep regret. But some wounds, my friend, are because God has refused to let go. In the midst of your struggle, he's been right there, holding on to you. The scriptures teach that God loves you. You are a child of God. He wants to protect you and provide for you in every way. But sometimes we foolishly wade into dangerous situations, not knowing what lies ahead. The swimming hole of life is filled with peril, and we forget that the enemy is waiting to attack. That is, when the tug of war begins. If you have the scars of his love on your arms, be very, very grateful. He will not let you go. So, as I pondered this again just now, I realized that if Jesus went to heaven with scars, how can we expect anything different?" Yeah, true. And Deb says, comments here, she says, "I recall a dream that my friend Kara Saborn had back in 2008, where she saw David swimming with alligators, and the alligators were afraid of him." Yes, they are. Yeah. They're told, don't talk to David. Don't get around David. Don't let him see you. Yes. A comment here I got, David's revelation of the factious leader hit by a bus and the man-child escaping the factious leader, alligator, dragon. Okay, here it is. I reported this one morning. My Bible was open next to my chair that morning, but not where I left it the night before. Somebody had changed the page. There was only one small note on the two open pages that were facing me, and it read, quote, "Dream that a bus hit the factious leader and killed him. Two heads confirmed he will not be saved," unquote. That was my note next to it. I'd forgotten all about the note and the dream and everything, you know. And this was right next to a text that was underlined where my finger had fallen on. Quote, according to the commandment of David, the man of God. That's Nehemiah 12 and 24. According to the commandment of David, the man of God. So this destruction was ordered of the Lord. And just before this, in 22, it said, quote, in the reign of Darius the Persian, unquote. Most people are familiar with Daniel. He was called Darius the Mede in Daniel. These were two different nations joined together. And they were joined together in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, who we know as Trump, who allied with the Medes to conquer Babylon, the deep state. So that gives you the timing of this thing. Okay. The bus represents a bunch of people joined together who hit the factious leader just as it was with another traitor, Abimelech, who killed the man-child's brethren. Abimelech was guilty of the spiritual death of the men of Shechem, and this guilt and judgment would fall on him because he led them into this evil. And this was because he joined them together to kill all of Gideon's sons except the man-child who spoke the curse from the top of the mountain that caused the men of Shechem, that is the bus, to divide against and kill Abimelech. The faction was divided like many verses we have received, like the faction that came against Jehoshaphat, which was divided by God so that they slew each other. People don't realize what a man sows, he reaps. The Bible says, don't be deceived. What you sow, you reap. People are making their own future. If you go out and murder people, you will be murdered. Yes. And this is a spiritual murder. We've seen a lot of them, and some of them end up being physical murders because when people walk in those ways, they get slaughtered. And here's Marie Kelton's revelation on 9/24/20. Faction leads to reprobation and death. I had a dream that the factious leader was running from something. I think it was the bus. He ran across the street and got hit by a bus and was killed. In the dream, David was on Zoom, like in the morning prayer meetings. He was talking about the dream as if he had heard it before. Well, yes, I have heard the same story many times. It was slightly different, but it always is the same way. Back since at least probably 2010, when factious people started coming against us and trying to stop us from getting the gospel out. And David was trying to remember exactly what happened and who told him the dream. Leon, meaning lion, in other words, Jesus, was trying to help David figure it out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I need your help. Help me to figure this out. The song that was playing in my head when I woke up from this dream was Disturbia by Rihanna. It's a song about demon possession. Here are the lyrics of the song Disturbia. Well, this song points out exactly what happens when people are taken over by demonic, factious spirits. They totally lose their minds, and their conscience is seared, and they become reprobated. Okay, here's the lyrics. What's wrong with me? Why do I feel like this? I'm going crazy now. No more gas in the rig. Can't even get it started. Nothing heard. Nothing said. Can't even speak about it. Out of my life. Out of my head. Don't want to think about it. Feels like I'm going insane. It's a thief in the night to come and grab you. It can creep up inside you and consume you. A disease of the mind, it can control you. It's too close for comfort. I feel like a monster. Put on your brake lights. We're in the city of wonder. Ain't gonna play nice. Watch out. You might just go under. Better think twice. Yeah. Your train of thought will be altered. So if you must falter, be wise. Your mind is in disturbia. It's like the darkness in the light disturbia. Am I scaring you tonight? Your mind is in disturbia. Ain't used to what you like. Disturbia. Faded pictures on the walls. It's like they're talking to me. Disconnecting all calls. Your phone don't even ring. I gotta get out or figure this out. It's too close for comfort. Release me from this curse I'm in. Trying to maintain, but I'm struggling. If you can't go, go, go. I think I'm going to Yeah. So, we're coming to the end of the deep state and church factions against the church. God has been calling this the Red Sea. Pray for the elect among them to be saved. The Red Sea is happening, and it's going to continue to happen for a little while yet. And some are being reprobated. And obviously the elect among them can gain light in the fear of God and return to the Lord. Okay, here's another one from Marie Kelton, 6:21-21. We were crucified with Christ. During the prayer meeting at night, when we were singing the song on page 100 entitled, Knowing You, Jesus, the Lord gave me an open vision. While I was praying in tongues during the song, I saw drops of blood falling on the songbook page. The blood droplets were coming from my head. Well, you know, Judas betrayed Jesus in the garden and put him on the cross, and he is doing it today too. We were crucified with Christ, and that's how we get his resurrection life. These people, like Judas, you know, have a job to do. It is to bring us to resurrection life. Amen. So, anyway, Missy on 6:29-21 wrote to me, the Lord gave me this morning when I asked him what he wants to speak to me first and foremost, and I got Micah 5:1. Now shalt thou gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Well, you recognize that one. She said, when I read the whole chapter, if I understood correctly, it says that after the man-child is anointed, he will be used by God to defeat the Assyrians, meaning the factious apostates. This goes along with what you said, that was me, that the anointed David's defeat the Edomites. It's true. David, even when he was young, fought wars against them. But when he was anointed, he defeated them and put garrisons in their cities. I responded to her. I asked why the constant faction against me all these years, and got a similar text to your Micah 5 and 1. I got Mark 15:22-24. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And they crucified him, and part his garments among them, casting lots upon them, what each should take. Okay, back to Marie's vision here. Then the Lord gave me an open vision of himself on the cross and screaming out his last cry and giving up the ghost. Then I felt a pressure on my head, and I saw a crown of thorns was placed on my head, and blood was dripping down my face. This reminds me of Romans 6:5-14. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. Hell, praise the Lord. So that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. There you go. That's what this crucified life path is all about, to not be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once, but the life that he liveth unto God. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. You don't have to fear sin. You reckon it dead. And you don't walk by sight or feelings. You reckon it dead. But alive unto God in Christ Jesus, you are alive unto God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Therefore, speaking about what was just said, reckon ye yourselves to be dead. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That's faith, that you should obey the lusts thereof. Neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Some people do that. They run to sin. And they're presenting their members in a place that they could be captured, right? But present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Well, thank you, Father. We know your plan. We want to cooperate with your plan in Jesus' name. And Lord, we know these people that constantly come against us and hate us and want to crucify us and so on and so forth. We thank you so much for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then Marie got some verses that came to her. Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Amen. He shed that blood for us. And Mark 15:17 says, and they clothed him with purple, and plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And he bore the curse for us. The thorns, you know, back in Genesis, represented the curse, right? And he bore the curse of those thorns for us. Mark 15:37. And Jesus uttered a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Philippians 3, 7 through 11. Howbeit, what things were gain to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yes, is something, you know, controlling you all day long, an idol, a thing that you think is important, you get distracted with. We have to do what he said, count them as loss for Christ. Yea, verily, I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Well, this excellency of this knowledge is what we love the Scriptures for. You know, we love the Scriptures. And all these other things we need to count as loss. For whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ. How is it gaining Christ? Because of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Because they laid aside all these other things. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. If you don't want to have anything to do with the fellowship of his sufferings, you will not come to the resurrection, right? Becoming conformed unto his death. Now the wicked out there, they have a purpose. And that purpose is to bring us to our cross. Cooperate. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like them, but cooperate, right? If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you so much, Father, for this lesson today. Put it in our hearts, Lord, to want and desire to be conformed unto his death that we might have his resurrection life. Thank you so much, Father, for doing this in Jesus' name. Good night.